on expanding, opening your heart to practice. And I should say that for the re record, I'm Jin Ryu filling in for Damiel. And this is the second of a multi-week practice around a certain section of her book about opening your heart to practice. And tonight, I know we talked a lot about the Brahma Viharas last week, but we're going to talk about them again. And we're going to play around with some metta. Oh, and I'm sorry, you should have a, and I will need one too, a chant book, because we are going to sing the Metta Sutra. Well, I thought we were. Oh, okay. So, we will go ahead and start with the Metta Sutra. And the Metta Sutra is on the very last page, I believe.
59.
Page 59 of the chant book.
Yeah, for those of us online, give me a second and I will put a link in the chat.
I never read headings. That's why I missed it. I never read them.
I'm glad I read it.
I'm glad you did too. Are we ready?
Give me just a minute. This is to I just put a link into to the chant book to everybody, and the Metta Sutta is on page 59 of that chant book.
So I will lead the chant, and we've got a couple of new folks here. So I will just say briefly that when you see the little arrow under a word go down, that means you drop a note. And when you see the arrow go up, you go up a note. And if it's underlined, you hold it for a little bit. Metta Sutra. This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short, or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings seems be at ease. Let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as a mother protects with her life her only child, so with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths. Hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, seated or lying down, free from drowsiness, one should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being free from all sense desires, is not born again into this world. So thank you for chanting that along with me. So I know the Brahma Viharas as abidings, and I can think of that as a place where I want to dwell, as sort of a figurative place, a space. From my Christian background, the only thing that comes to mind is I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I mean, I think of that as an abiding. So there are four. The first one is metta, which we're going to go into in pretty much a lot of detail tonight, and it stands for loving kindness. And I think as we get more into loving kindness, and if we continue to chant this sutra at the beginning of every Tuesday evening discussion, I think the words will have a great deal of meaning for you. In fact, the very last sentence, is not born again into this world, kind of gives me the chills. And you can imagine if you were raised in India 500 years BCE, the kind of place it was, and the whole idea of being born again and again and again until you got it right, to not be born again would be a real joy, I can just imagine. So the first one is metta, or loving kindness. The second one is karuna, or compassion. The third, Brahma Vihara, is sympathetic joy, or mudita. And the fourth is equanimity, or upekkha. And I just had the experience just this evening of applauding a dear friend who succeeded in a big milestone where she works, and I felt a great deal of sympathetic joy. But it can be hard. I mean, it's not like we like everybody or love everybody. And so if it's someone, you know, that I mean, there are lots of examples we'll talk about tonight where it could be someone that you're having a difficult time with, and yet we are expected over time as we mature in our practice to practice sympathetic joy for everyone. Other aspects of our practice challenge us, and I'm learning this more and more the deeper I get into studying Dogen. And some of us in our practice intensive, we're getting more and more involved in different fascicles in the Shobo Genzo, that our sense of self gets challenged, and that's a good thing. And once we start picking away at that, sooner or later, our sense of self will soften. The Brahmaviharas, in particular metta, works directly on opening your heart. And that can also, in its own way, challenge our sense of self. Jamyo calls metta the starting place. And she has some thoughts here around metta and the 5th century Indian Theravadan monk, Buddhaghosa. And he evidently wrote many, many pages on how to cultivate metta, particularly when you're trying to extend it to someone and finding it really difficult, which A can happen, B, we're called upon to do so. And so if you're going to practice this on a regular basis, that will come about sooner or later. And he defines metta this way. Loving kindness is characterized here as promoting the aspect of welfare. Its function is to prefer welfare. It is manifested as the removal of annoyance. How wonderful is that? Its proximate cause is seeing lovableness in all beings. It succeeds when it makes ill will subside. I know I am not the only one in here who, at some point in her life, felt unlovable. I'm the only one raising my hand. I know I'm not alone. Okay. But imagine. Seeing lovableness in all beings. I know it's there, but you got to take time and make the effort to see it. And I love his last bit of this definition. It succeeds when it makes ill will subside. Now, I'm going to continue to read this paragraph because Domio is following metta and its practice. By the Theravadan monk Buddhaghosa, my first encounter with metta, and I don't, I hope she doesn't think that I'm deviating from her instruction. I don't believe I am. But the woman who wrote the Bible, the modern day Bible on loving kindness, is Sharon Salzberg. And she wrote a book. It's a white book with a big red flower on it, and it's called Loving Kindness. And in that book, she spends a lot of time on loving kindness. She covers all the Brahmaviharas, but she spends a lot of time on loving kindness. And frankly, that's how I got started quite a few years ago. So what Buddhaghosa says is, first he says we should try to feel metta for ourselves. Ideally, in a meditative kind of space, we think of ourselves and then silently recite phrases like, may I be free from fear and anxiety. May I be at ease. May I be happy. As we recite, we try to actually feel goodwill. Buddhaghosa goes on to explain why we start with ourselves, inviting us to reflect, I am happy, just as I want to be happy and dread pain, As I want to live and not die, so do other beings too. Once you've managed to summon a sincere feeling of goodwill, you next try to extend that same feeling towards someone like a teacher, someone for whom you feel a great deal of respect and gratitude, perhaps a dear friend, perhaps your partner. Then you move on to a neutral person. And a neutral person is somebody like the cashier who checked out your groceries this afternoon, your postman, someone you know, they're a part of your life, but you don't dislike them, but you don't know them enough to really like them. You're just part of life. And then once you have generated a lot of goodwill, you do this for a hostile person. Now, some of you know that I belong to a 12-step community. And in that community, we say that if there's somebody in your life who's really giving you a hard time and you just can't stand it, and you just like really dislike them, you have to pray for them every day for 2 weeks. And you have to pray for them and wish for them the things you want. Well, I have done that before, and it is really, really hard. And so when I discovered metta and began to practice it, it is so much easier to do this for someone you dislike than it is to do what I was asked to do. And we are going to try a little meditation practice right now. And I will take you through it rather than doing it the way she says here. I am not far off, but when I do practice metta at the beginning of every meditation, I don't know why I enjoy practicing it. And it is just for me a great way to start meditation. And I do it quickly. We won't necessarily do it super quickly. But I start with myself, and Sharon Salzberg in her book encourages you to start with yourself. And so for the first 2 weeks that I practiced it, I stood in the mirror just like she instructed me to. I stood in the mirror and looked at myself, and I said metta for myself. And it changed my life. It made me significantly, in fact, I would honestly say it made me happy. And it made me love myself. I don't think I loved myself before I actually went through that exercise. Loving yourself is not easy, because you know all about yourself. You know how unlovable you are. But she suggests the same pattern of yourself first, and then a friend, a significant other, someone you love, maybe your children, maybe you, and then someone else sort of in that category. I usually include my pets around the third time. And then if you want to go further, if there really is somebody that's bugging you and you feel ready to do this kind of activity, then you can say metta for that individual. I don't know if we'll get that far tonight. But I say these five things very much like what she's saying here. I say, may you be safe, meaning may you be free from fear and anxiety. May you be in the best possible health. May you be happy. May you be surrounded by love and kindness. And may you be free from suffering and all of its causes. And that last thing I got from a lama on a loving kindness weekend at Great Vow. She practiced there, I think, a good year, year and a half. But that was the last thing she offered was, "May you be free from suffering and all of its causes." When I do it for my cats, I say, it's kind of in the third person, but I say, "May they know how much I love them. And may they know I will always be here to take care of them." And then I go through the other things. So we're going to do this for maybe 10 minutes. I don't know if we're ready to go into a person that we dislike. We might have time for that, but I'll let you guys decide. So sit if you wish, with your feet flat on the ground, like you're getting ready to meditate in your chair, and you may wish to close your eyes. You may wish not to do that. You may wish to just focus downward. And let's all take a deep breath in and let us try to focus loving kindness on ourselves. And say these things to yourself silently. May I be safe? May I be free from fear and anxiety? May I be in the best possible health. And may I be happy. May I be surrounded by love and kindness. May I be free from suffering and all its causes. Feel what it feels like physically to say these things to yourself. How does it make you feel emotionally? Expanding the circle of loving kindness to someone very dear to you. Hold a picture of that person in your mind or those people and say to them silently in your mind, may you be safe. May you be free from fear and anxiety. May you be in the best possible health. And may you be happy. May you be surrounded by love and kindness. And may you be free from suffering and all its causes. How does it feel to offer such loving blessings on the person or the people you love? Expanding the circle one more time to others in our lives that we care about. These could be friends. They could be neighbors. They could be pets. Hold them in your mind's eye and say to yourself, may you be safe. May you be free from fear and anxiety. May you be in the best possible health. And may you be happy. May you be surrounded by love and kindness. And may you be free from suffering and all its causes. Expanding the circle even wider, let's take a moment to think of those people in our lives who make our lives work, but whom we may not know at all. A postman, a grocery store clerk, a delivery guy. Pick one of them and hold him in your mind's eye and say to him silently, may you be safe. Free from fear and anxiety. May you be in the best possible health. And may you be happy. May you be surrounded by love and kindness. And may you be free from suffering and all its causes. Now, we can stop there, or we can just give it one more minute or two to bring to mind someone with whom we have a great deal of difficulty. Could be a sibling, could be a parent, could be a colleague, could be a neighbor. And if you have someone, think through the words of metta silently as you hold their picture in your mind's eye. May you be safe, free from fear and anxiety. May you be in the best possible health. May you be happy. May you be surrounded by love and kindness. And may you be free from suffering and all its causes. You may wish to open your eyes or look up. Take your time coming back. Does anybody want to talk about how they feel? Yeah. Jack first and then Coral. What we normally do is we have you sit up here.
Towards myself, I actually really thought this thing really sad. Is that? I don't know if that's normal or.
I think anything you feel during this experience is normal. And I'm sure there could be 100 different reactions. And I can appreciate feeling sadness. I can understand that. Thank you. Raise your hand online if you wish to contribute.
The first time I did a meta practice, I was in a yoga class in college, and I was completely unprepared for what that was going to feel like. I know we're all in college, going through all the like normal college shit you go through, and I was like sobbing by the end of it. Today, being prepared, I feel like, you know, just in tonight, you know, I'm holding myself back a little bit from just like the like really strong emotions I get from this practice. But still, to this day, when I'm doing it for myself, it feels kind of fake. I feel like it feels forced. I don't know. I'm just like going through the motions. But, you know, when I think about the people in my life, particularly like my loved ones, and then, you know, now when I do meta practice and I think about these neutral people, I think about people who pay bills in the city of Hillsborough because I work for the municipality. and they affect me. I don't even know what they look like, but they pay for my salary and all the projects that I do. I get really emotional, and especially when I think about someone who's I don't want to like. It really makes me super emotional. But when for myself, for some reason, it feels like I'm just going through emotions. However, through time, I do feel the impact of saying these things about myself. So there must be something there.
Anyway, I think there is. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes, AJ.
So, like Carl, I also struggle. I think when I reflect on myself with meta practice, and so what I do when I've been working on this is I start with the people closest to me first and kind of like build some momentum and some of the good vibes first, and then like add myself in kind of after that as I get into like that further circle. And I find that that's easier for me to push it on myself as I develop that. The other thing I wanted to share is with, you know, a difficult person. So tonight while we're going through this, I was thinking about my brother. He and I have been kind of rough patch in a relationship over the last year or so. And my first, like, you know, bring his face to mind and start thinking about, like, I could just feel a huge ball of anxiety. But as I, you know, start wishing all these things on him, I can feel that release and start to feel better. And so even if there's no direct resolving the relationship in the near future, at least like I can start letting go of some of my grasping on the situation, coming to peace with it at least. So that's been helpful for me. Just wanted to share that.
Good. I mean, thank you. You're not alone, I am certain. Mick. Now, we're kind of halfway through, so we'll listen to Mick and Leah, and then we'll keep going. Go ahead, Mick.
Yeah, I'll just sort of like piggyback on what I think has been said already, but it does really feel difficult to do it for me. Like, I feel like that's a common thing. And for a while when I was going through something similar, it wasn't meta per se, but I know, I think, Jinryu, you asked me to do this. I think it was, you even mentioned Sharon Salzberg at the time, but I stared at myself in the mirror and it wasn't loving kindness, but it was like affirmation and something about like not bringing my own self to mind, but staring at myself, made it feel like deeper and more genuine because yeah, I mean, I was doing it tonight and I was like, yeah, you know, this is the first round. It just kind of like feels like a warm up. I'm just like doing it. But yeah, I don't know, something about looking at myself in the mirror. I found that to be like life altering. Like that was huge when I started doing that.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why I recommended that, but I would recommend it to anybody.
Yeah, that was actually when I was like dealing with whether I deserve to be a Buddha or not. Oh. And so for like two straight weeks, I stared myself in the mirror and I said, I am a Buddha. And
and you are.
I don't know. It was huge.
Thank you. And Leah.
So this, I was starting to crack up when you started talking, Mick, not because I think you're hilarious, but because you because you brought up exactly what I was going to bring up. I think the meta toward yourself is probably fraught for so many people that there's a reason there's these ramps to get to it because it seems to be hard. And, you know, like the looking at yourself in the eyes, in the mirror, and Domio suggested thinking of your dog first, or at least in our case, we're like, you know, little dog owners, and our little dogs are so easy to love. Anyway, it's uncomplicated kind of direct meta that you feel without anything, and then put yourself in there, or like you were saying, AJ, a group of people who you like already, and then yourself or something like that, to try to build a ramp to get to yourself, I think is probably pretty understandable, because that's exactly what I feel like. I feel like, oh, myself, I score F, and on everyone else, A. This is a very easy Brahma Vihara for me. This is like beginner, no problem, Brahma Vihara, until it's to myself. And then it's like, oh, well, I guess I'll get better at that someday.
Thank you. I'm all for whatever makes these practices easier on you to get into them. I'm all for that. So let's see. So that's metta. I encourage you to practice it at some point. I encourage you to try and be regular with it in some way, once a week. We have online metta, don't we, at 8 o'clock in the morning Pacific time, 8 or 8:15. Pacific time, we have a meta group that involves people from the UK. So it's early in the morning on Sundays. That's on Sundays. If anybody wants to join that, you will find information on it on our website. But, you know, it's not an easy practice. It's kind of long. I mean, I don't take that long when I do it. For me, it's like 3 to 5 minutes at the beginning of my Zazen. But Buddhaghosa offers a very long list, which I'm going to read. It's not, you'll love. It's only 10 things, but, and then we'll have more discussion. But it's a long list of things to think about as to why you should do metta and how it's beneficial to you. And here's the first thing he says. Recall that your enemy wishes bad things upon you, and you bring them about for them by dwelling in anger and ill will. I mean, that makes total sense. Whenever I'm angry with, I mean, the anger is killing me, and it's what I feel for them. In particular, when you're angry and resentful, you're ugly, in pain, likely to drive away your friends, and more likely to make bad decisions that will bring about ill fortune for you. Buddhaghosa quotes the Buddha saying, "By repaying an angry man in kind, you will be worse than the angry man and not win the battle hard to win. You will yourself do to yourself the things that help your enemy." Number two, remember some controlled and purified state in that person which inspires confidence when remembered. What he's saying here is not everybody is all bad. There might be some people like that, but there's got to be something about this enemy of yours. Buddhaghosa goes on at length about how some people may have good conduct in one area of their lives, but not in another. So think about that part of them that brings about some goodwill from you toward them. Number three, if someone seems to have no redeeming qualities, which is possible, no redeeming qualities, try to summon compassion for that. You know, this happened to be not very long ago. There was a person in my life. This woman does not like me, period. She does not like me. She lets it be known when we're around others that, and I had to come to grips with this fact. There is nothing I can do that would make her like me, even if I did everything exactly as she wanted. And then something happened, and I was drawn closer to a friend of hers. It was about my knee surgery, actually. And she witnessed that. And then she became all sweet and kind to me. And I thought to myself, what a poor person. What a person who, for some reason, has all this resentment and ill will about me until the tides change and things look different to her. I mean, it really did fill me with a lot of compassion. I still don't like her all that much, but I do have compassion for her. I really do. Okay. Four. Reflect on the damage anger does you. So there's a lot in here about anger. You've probably heard the saying that nurturing anger and ill will is like concocting a poison to harm your enemy, but then drinking it yourself. Similarly, Buddhaghosa offers a series of verses, and these are little poems. Suppose an enemy has hurt you now in what is his domain. Why try yourself as well to hurt your mind? This is not his domain. And here's another one. If you get angry, then maybe you make him suffer, maybe not. Though with the hurt that anger brings you certainly are punished now. Five, review the fact that because of the law of karma or moral cause and effect, we are the heirs to our deeds. Buddhaghosa observes, will not this karma of yours that has anger as its source lead you to your own harm? By indulging in anger and resentment, you just hurt yourself, and therefore you are like a man who wants to hit another and picks up a burning ember or excrement in his hand to do so, and so first burns himself or makes himself stink. The truth of this observation can be difficult to see in our own behavior, but you can probably think of other people you've listened to as they dwell on their resentments against someone. At a certain point, you see clearly how the subject of their resentment is more or less going merely on their way, while it's the angry person that's miserable. Six, think about Buddha's words. When a fool hates a person who has no hate, who is purified and free from every blemish, such evil, she will find, comes back on her, as does fine dust thrown up against the wind. Like one of the earlier suggestions, this approach seems to take subtle advantage of our natural resentment for someone, but the essence of this practice is whatever works. The essence of this practice is about loving, kindness, and compassion. And even though they separate the two, the four Brahmaviharas, there's a separate one for compassion. Speaking of having it for yourself, I found for myself that I could not have compassion for myself unless I loved myself first, which is why I took that metta for yourself exercise so seriously. Seven, think about the conduct of the Buddha and other noble ones in the past who manifested transcendent patience, boundless goodwill, and no trace of hatred despite persecution and misfortune. Eight, reflect on the advantages of cultivating metta. According to Buddhaghosa, there are 11 advantages. And I've heard Jack Kornfield talk about this as well, that you have sweet dreams. But Buddhaghosa says a man sleeps in comfort, wakes in comfort, dreams no evil dreams. He is dear to human beings. He is dear to non-human beings. Deities guard him. Fire and poison and weapons do not affect him. His mind is easily concentrated. The expression of his face is serene. He dies unconfused. If he penetrates no higher, he will be reborn in the Brahma world. And then 9 other things to think about and why you should do metta. Deconstruct who it is that you're angry with. And this has a lot to do with the teaching of not self. Said you deconstruct the other person. Buddhaghosa calls this exercise resolution into elements and tells us to ask ourselves exactly who or what it is we are angry with. Is it his hair? Is it his body hair? Is it nails? Is it her legs? Is it his arms? His face, his liver, her kidneys, her eyeballs, his sensations, thoughts, consequences. Generally speaking, as you contemplate each one of those elements, it doesn't make any sense to feel ill will toward any of those things. And finally, what Buddhaghosa says is give the subject of your resentment a gift. The idea is that through this positive action, your ill will will subside, and it's likely any ill will of the recipient will be likewise mitigated. So that is the list of things that Buddhaghosa gives you to think about as to reasons why you should practice metta. And one thing I wanted to add, it's my understanding, this is legend probably, but it's my understanding that the Buddha created metta practice for his monks because they had to go into the woods to gather wood and they were terrified of the spirits in the trees. So he explained to them what metta for themselves was all about, and they would say metta for themselves and feel better about going into the woods and gathering what they needed to gather. And that's all I have. And I'm sorry, it's right up to the last minute. Ruth Ann, did you want to say something?
As a trained counselor, being able to look into the mirror and say, you're okay, you know, whatever, I love you, I'm here to do whatever in this existence. It's a good thing. Charity begins at home. And I think in our culture, don't get that encouraged early on. So I choose to end my day with metta, along with a few other prayers, practices. And by the time I get to, quote, enemies, sometimes I fall asleep. But maybe that's okay. There's always the next day. Thank you. This has been great.
Thanks, Ruthann. We can take a couple of minutes if anybody wants to comment.
It's been very sweet and helpful. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad. Mark has said it was very sweet and helpful. What?
It's hard to imagine you only have 3 hours of this. You did really well.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable with this topic because I do practice it a lot.
If you said that, like, to pick out what specific thing that you are mad at about a person, if it's their eyes or their whatever, what if it's their entire personality?
Well, I mean, that is kind of where you start. I think the purpose of that exercise was simply to deconstruct the anger. What is it really? And if you go through all of those things, you'll realize that, you know, those one or two things that are left over that you're really angry at, I mean, first of all, they're probably at the bottom of the list after you've gone through hair, eyes, teeth, nose, face, arms, legs, and everything else. But I think that was just a helpful tool. It may or may not work. I took my glasses off and I shouldn't have because I need to see the time. Anybody else in the cloud with a burning desire to add something? Or in the Zendo?
Yeah, Dawn. You know, when you were saying how did it feel to do metta and relief is what it feels like to me. Just pure relief, which is also why I do it once a day, but I'm listening to you and maybe I'll do it a little more often.
Well, that's great. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else? So we'll end the evening. We dedicate the merit of this Sangha discussion to all so that they may be able to obtain the truth. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, Bodhisattvas, Mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, Maha Prajna Paramita. Thanks, everybody. James, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in forever.
Thank you, Jinryu.
Thank you.
Busy schedule for me. I never seem to find time, sadly.
Maybe you'll come to the spring retreat.
I have a desire to do it. I just need to get the work scheduled out.
Good.
Is it on the calendar?
Yeah.
You can register, actually. You can go to the website and register.
Okay, awesome. I'll look into that.
Bye. Bye.